small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me in the Rock Room East today is, I've talked about him many times, he's my age-appropriate friend from work. Please welcome Michael Johnson. Hello, Michael.
Pat, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And can I begin with something?
I don't know. Hold on, let me make marks so I know where to edit. All right, literally 4 seconds in. Okay.
I want to let you know that I am inextricably impressed with what you do here, because I used to write for magazines and try to come up with content and try to figure out what my next story would be. And then you have to produce that content, and then you have to publish it and make it available. And every single episode that I've listened to has been wildly entertaining. And the fact that you put this together on a frequent basis.
Weekly
basis.
Yes.
Is beyond impressive. So I didn't want to get away without saying.
Well, I appreciate a compliment. I always like it. And if anyone has compliments, please, you can email me, rocksolidpodcast@gmail.com.
Mark.
You can see, look, this is a professional situation. That's not what it is.
No. Enterprise. Yeah.
Look at it. I got microphones. Look at it. It's a two laptop system. I got a mixing board here. You know, I do post-production.
You're the producer. You're everything.
I do everything. I mean, no, I don't do everything. I don't do everything. I have people that graciously create Facebook artwork for each episode.
Very nice.
And it's a good time to give those people a shout out. David Harvey, Jason Levy, Kyle Hildreth, and Daryl Asher. And if anyone wants to do Facebook artwork, please, same email address. And I'll give you a shot. I let them do whatever they want. I say, here's what the topic is. Maybe include this graphic if possible. And then free will. I don't have notes. They don't send me their artwork. And I go, wait a minute.
So you're not a micromanager.
I'm not. Usually the only note I have is if I gave them the wrong episode number. I'm like, that was 893, not 894. So please change that.
That alone, the fact that you have 894.
This today, let me see. I'm going to see what I actually have. Episode 892 dropped as of this past Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
jeez.
I know it's, I kind of don't think about it anymore. It's just something I love to do. It's, it is a lot. There is a lot of work involved. You know, you sent me your song list. I queued them all up, got them all ready, have them in a list. We're ready to go. We have to schedule this.
Yep.
I have to make sure that, is this the kind of way you wanted to start your today? You know, I have to make sure that, that I have an episode for every Thursday. So,
yeah,
you
that's
know,
what I'm saying.
So,
yeah.
You know, I got to lock in people, make sure, but I'm always ahead. That's my number one thing. When I tell people who are going to start a podcast, I say, don't record one and then drop it the next week. I go, get like 4, 5, or 6 in the can.
Yep.
And give yourself some breathing room, because right. If it starts to feel like work and not fun, you're going to stop doing it.
Right. Exactly. And that's what happened to me with writing, where I was just like, oh my God, I've got to come up with something. And instead of writing a bunch in advance, but
yeah. Now, do you think you'll get back into the writing?
Possibly. They've asked me to,
mm-hmm.
And I always like that. And writing profiles on people, mm-hmm. and doing interviews and things like that. So it's a possibility for sure.
All right. And then another thing that you used to do, and people, you've heard Michael Johnson on the podcast, because he's a Patreon supporter, and he participates in the Patreon episodes, and you have a great voice on microphone, and you used to do audiobooks?
Yes. For about a 2-year period, I was on, Amazon has a site that's called ACX, excuse me, and you can go out there and they'll have different scripts or, you know, excerpts that you can read as auditions. So I would do that. And at first, when I got into it, I thought I would do voiceover for, you know, little commercials and things. But then audiobooks made a lot more sense for somebody that was kind of new to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost too many audiobook options out there. And, you know, so a lot of this was certainly nonfiction work. And it was, you know, business related things and self-help books and all sorts of things. So
you didn't read the Martin Luther King biography? They didn't choose you to do that?
No. Right. I was not typecast for that.
So. Now, is that good money doing that?
It can be, but sometimes you'll get little phishing emails about like, we'd love to pay you X amount of dollars. And you're like, I don't think so. But there are times where people, especially on their first book, they start to feel like I got to get this mm-hmm. out and, you know, this is a good match and I'd love to pay you whatever it takes. But you can definitely do fairly well with it. So it was a good side hustle.
And I've offered you up this space
yes.
to use. If you want to get back into that, it's because look, the sound's good in here, that's unless great. The gardener's here, which is only on Friday.
Yeah, that was part of my problem as well, because I had it was a walk-in closet, and I had it sort of outfitted with padding and all sorts of things, and the clothes were natural absorbers mm-hmm. of sound. But then all of a sudden, you're beholden to the fact that your neighbor is now going to start weed-eating mm-hmm. things, and you know, and trucks were going to start backing up and yeah. that.
Or family interruptions.
Oh, sure. And that was part of it, too, is you'd be like, could you turn the air conditioning off? I've got a four-hour book to record.
Yeah.
And
but it's hot in the house.
Yeah, right. Dad, we're sweating. Why are you doing this to us? So it became almost more of a inconvenience just to kind of get it done and schedule things and not be a burden to the rest of the house.
Right. Well, look, this room is rent-free for you to use if you see like you can make extra income.
Very generous. Thank you so much.
Look, I mean, and I don't know what platform, what do you do? Do you plug a microphone into your computer and record it?
Yeah. And then there's, I forget, because it's been a while, but I forget the name of the program. Mm-hmm. But then you can edit and, you know, and make a mistake and you roll back and you can go start again and punch and roll is what the...
Oh, punch and roll.
Insiders
I like that.
Call it. Then you can sort of, and mistakes are prevalent. You know, that's why you always, if you have a 2-hour book, you can darn well assume it's going to take you five
hours. For unless you get really good at it and then you're just, you know.
Sure. Yeah. I never did.
And then that microphone across the room, that's the Shure microphone that plugs right into a laptop. So we're all set up here. You're perfect.
You're very kind.
Think about it. Start with like a kid's book.
Yeah. Humpty Dumpty.
Something little, something short.
Yeah. That's a great, some sort of nursery rhyme.
All right. Now we got to keep getting to know Michael Johnson. So married and you have one child, Gabe.
Yes.
And you had Gabe at the same age I was when I had our youngest, Rita.
Oh, is that right?
So you're 40 years older than Gabe, and I'm 40 years older than Rita.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
when he, I always say when he graduates college, he'll be like, Mr. Johnson, we're going to roll you up to the front.
No.
Can get a better look.
No. It's not that bad.
Oh, okay.
It's not that bad. Look at me as an example of what a youthful 62-year-old can be like.
Spry as ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm 5 years older than Michael, and I said, in 3 years, we have to have a birthday party. It'll be his 60th and my 65th.
That's right.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's always easy to remember your age.
Because I say it all the time.
I think about it a lot.
I tell everyone. I tell everyone. The other day at work, one of our managers and another woman we work with who are in our age bracket, they were talking about retirement and 401ks and all this kind of stuff. And I just happened upon this conversation. And the woman said, Pat, can you even imagine yourself still working here at age 65? And I said, in 2.5 years, yeah, I think I'm going to be working here. And then she was like, I always forget how old you are. Well, that's a good thing.
That's a compliment.
So you've lived in many places around the country and out of the country.
Mm, true. Yeah.
Where were you born?
Albany, Georgia.
Okay. And then how long were you there?
Long enough for my baby sister, who's 2 years younger, to be born. And so I'm going to say 2.5 years.
All right.
Yeah.
And then where?
Oh, then we moved to Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Where my mother is originally from.
Okay.
And my parents actually live now. And my sister lives there.
Austin, nice place.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It takes 55 minutes to get everywhere, but it's fantastic.
And it takes 10 minutes to get everywhere in Winston-Salem.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So Austin, Texas, and then you're going to ask me where after that, because I don't know.
I'm not going to keep saying and where. Where did you live the longest?
California.
For how many years?
Five.
What part?
Chula Vista.
Okay. And then where did you, your formative teen music experiencing years? I don't know if that's a sentence. Where was that?
Well, from California, we moved to Charleston. So now we're getting into middle school, and that's kind of where it started in terms of solidifying kind of any musical identity or interest. Although I still remember, like, because I participated in the one, there's an episode that will have already aired, but Thanks Mom and Dad.
Yes.
So my dad was a piano player, and so he had a record player and would always play these vinyls of Andy Williams and Chuck Mangione.
I played Andy Williams on that episode. That.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Yeah, and I distinctly remember that, and just being exposed to that at an early age. There's a song by U2 called Sometimes You Can't Make It On Your Own, and Bono wrote it about his father.
Oh, that's a great song.
And one of the lines in there is, you're the reason the opera is in me. And so my dad is probably the reason that, like, I had any musical inclination. I played piano a little bit and that sort of thing, and tried to teach myself some acoustic guitar back in college. And so that's where it started, I guess, California. And then into middle school, I was a product of the 80s. And then was fortunate enough after Charleston and living in North Carolina to, my dad was transferred to Scotland.
And how long were you in Scotland?
2 years.
All right.
But while my parents were there, I went to a all-American boarding school near London.
Just boys?
No, co-ed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's where I was sort of in the thick of it in the 80s, like in the country with the music that I seemed to love the most.
That must have been amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And we could, you could just take the tube to see a show, you know, in London, and you'd be back in
the tube. Mind the Gap.
Right, I remember Mind the Gap. You always, yeah, for sure. So, at the age of 17, I was exposed to a lot of that stuff.
That's amazing.
And the urban setting of London.
I'm envious of that part of your life. The rest of it, I could care less. But that part.
You dismiss the rest of it.
Now, have you remained friends with any, because you're going to different schools and different people all the time. And have you remained friends with any of these people?
Sure. When I moved to Scotland, I got off the plane and we stayed in this sort of the equivalent of today's Airbnb. And this kid came over and he said, you have to come to London where I go to school. And his name was Tom Gable. And Tom is now a dentist in Connecticut. And
okay.
So just when Lizzie and Gabe and I just went up to New England, we stayed at his house.
Oh, beautiful. Perfect. So I didn't know that's where you stayed. And I'm glad that this led right to that.
It does. And so every once in a while, I still connect with some of the friends that were in that same boarding school setting. And still have connections. Right. Yeah.
Cool. And then you've been in Winston-Salem for how long?
2002
That's a long time. No, 2002. So 20, let me do the math, 24 years. You've been here for 24 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So my dad grew up in Raleigh, and we have a house in the Smoky Mountains, far west as you can get in North Carolina. So we always had that North Carolina connection. Yeah. So moving here seemed like a natural thing for us. And so so it just made sense for me. And ultimately, my sister went to school in North Carolina. So she lived here for a time, too.
All right, cool.
So it's been great.
And this is where you think you're staying for good?
Certainly for a while, my son goes through school. Mm-hmm. And then we'll sort of reassess. But we love it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just smack in the middle of the state, and you can go to the mountains or the beach or whatever. And I like North Carolina a lot.
Yeah, for me, and I can't speak for Pilar, but I think we've talked about this. I don't really think we live here yet. Like, it still feels like we're on like a vacation. Like we're at an Airbnb somewhere and we're just, you know, because we're discovering new things because people will go, hey, have you been here? And I'm like, I don't even know where that is. Like, I don't know where anything is here yet.
Right.
I can get from my house to work and to tennis courts and to the chiropractor and to, but like when people say, like you took me to Mount Airy.
Yes,
I had never been there. So yeah, so we still don't know how to get anywhere.
Yeah, I think the connection to Andy Griffith was the only thing that got you out of the house.
Oh, for sure.
Where
you're
just
100%.
Take me to Mayberry.
And I know. Take me to Mayberry. Let's see what's up there.
Yeah.
And one more question. How long have you been at the establishment known as Trader Joe's?
November 2019. So if we do the math, seven years.
And before that, restaurant business, all that, all this, like so much stuff that we'll get into the next time.
Absolutely.
You're here.
The next four times I'm invited.
If this goes well, you'll be back and you'll get to tell, you'll get to regale us with more of your life.
Good. Thank you. Or everyone will be fascinated.
So, and then you and I, how did we hook? I mean, I assume I talked to you. I assume I was up in your grill and I wouldn't let you go.
I'm very bad about these things. Don't you remember? It was a Tuesday and I approached you and I said, you know,
welcome.
But, yeah, right.
Not many people told me welcome at this store. I have to be honest.
I remember that. And that you mentioned that when we first met and that disappointed me greatly because you said something about everyone is kind,
but they're not inviting.
They're not inviting.
Yes.
And I said, well, I've got to hopefully change that.
Yeah. So, you know, because that's the thing I always do with. So that's what, like I had to like, I'm just going to say hi to all these people and they can think I'm crazy, but whatever.
Right.
So, but I'm glad we're friends.
Yeah. Amen.
Love playing tennis.
Yes.
We play with the boy who's way better than us and very competitive.
Oh, he doesn't stop.
Very competitive.
Yeah. He likes to wager on it sometimes too.
All right, today's topic, you want to introduce it?
Yeah, we've decided to, what have we decided to call this?
Ever heard of?
Ever heard of. Now, here's what I want to make very painfully clear to the audience. Is the camera over here? Well, I want to look.
It's, I think this camera too.
Hi. I want everyone to know that this is called Ever Heard Of. Mm-hmm. And so during the course of my musical journey, these are bands that I would think maybe some people have never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm painfully aware, of course, as well, that people will be like, what's he talking about? Of course I've heard of them.
Right.
But maybe 84% of the people maybe have not heard this song or this band,
right.
But it's somebody who's made an impression upon me.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you.
All right. And so what's the first song on your ever heard of list? And then I have some songs too.
Good.
And my songs might be more, you've heard of this band, but maybe you didn't hear this song. Mine are more like that.
Right.
There's a couple bands you might not know. Okay. My audience will know every song because I only know six songs. All right, so go ahead.
All right, so this band is called Space Hog, and the song is called Cruel to Be Kind. I remember this band back when I saw them at the 930 Club in Washington, D.C., and I think it could be classified and determined that it was the loudest show I've ever heard. And there were lots of shows that I would go to and I would come out and the hearing wouldn't be corrected until 6 days later. And this was one of those. So Space Hog had four albums. They were a British quartet that lived actually in New York City, I think, and encountered each other and met and said, hey, we're all British and let's make a band with a weird name. And the singer, who's a bass player, and the guitarist are brothers.
That hardly ever works.
Right. Yeah, this is the case. Is with a lot of these bands you'll hear today, they existed from 1994 to 1998, and then they decided to come back for a year, and that was it. And they decided that's not going to be good. But so not kind of on a Black Crowes situation a little bit. But it's very glam, Bowie-like. I went through a phase there, especially when Bowie, we've talked about Bowie's Tin Machine and solo work and things like that made an impression. So it's very Bowie-like. And they were together in 1994 to 2001 and then came back, like I said, in 2006.
2006 through the present is what I'm reading.
Yeah, so I don't know if they sort of are on again, off again or what, but it's a fascinating band.
You can bet that some of these gentlemen work at Trader Joe's.
You think so?
Probably.
The drummer is as a crew.
For sure. For sure. Okay. And this song is Cruel to Be Kind, but it's not a cover of the Nick Lowe song.
Excellent point. And this got me thinking as well that all the, with all the words in all the mm-hmm. word world, and yet these, there's so many songs out there where you're like, is that the Rod Stewart version or is
well,
that the...
you don't know this because you haven't listened to all the 800 episodes of this podcast, but my friend Mike Siegel and I, we do episodes called Title Fight, where it's two songs that have the same title, but they're different songs. And then we decide which one's better.
Oh, I love that.
All right. Here's Cruel to Be Kind by Space Hog. That's a great tune.
Right?
Yeah, I like that song a lot.
Yeah, and in fact, I think it was the lead singer that was married to Liv Tyler, Stevens.
Ah, that's, daughter. Yes. You know what? Now that I read that name, what was the name? Royston? Rolston?
Yeah, Langdon. Yeah.
Yeah, Langdon. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
So he was married to her for a short...
All right, a short time.
Short flammable
time. A celebrity
time.
Marriage didn't...
Not so much.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, now here's a band. They're called Spies.
Okay.
S-P-Y-S. Getting fancy. Kind of like how the Babies do it. B-A-B-Y-S.
Right.
They're from New York, and they were formed after two members of Foreigner were kicked out of Foreigner. Bass player Ed Gagliardi and keyboard player Al Greenwood. And they're like, hey, man, we can still make money as a band, right? We don't need... the hit-making, songwriting skills of a Mick Jones and a Lou Graham. We can do this on our own. So I remember this song from MTV. And let me ask you something, Michael.
Okay.
Ever heard of She Can't Wait? All right, She Can't Wait by Spies.
I dig that. That's great.
Yeah, I like that song. This is my opportunity just to throw stuff out like that, which is good.
Yeah, and I like it too because I feel like some people will be like, "Oh, I remember them," and then they revisit it.
Yeah, hopefully. Then they go, "Oh, I'm gonna go see if that album's streaming."
Yeah, Michael and Pat are so cool.
No one's saying that. Michael has asked me to not swear during this episode so that Gabe can listen, your son can listen, and your wife.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. No. Yeah.
So far, I'm doing good.
You're doing fantastic. Thank you.
And here's the thing. I never swore around my kids, ever. I might now that they're in their 20s once in a while drop a bomb here and there.
Sure.
I think I've only dropped an F-bomb around your son once when we were playing tennis because I try to be respectful of that too. Mm-hmm. I think when I did, he had a big smile on his face.
Because he hit a passing shot and you're like, what the fuck?
Oh.
Hey.
Beep. I did not mean to say it just then. I did not mean to be. All right. What's your next song? And you notice how I did this little thing where I said, ever heard of, and then I introduced.
I thought I was supposed to answer, but then I was like, I see what he's doing.
Yeah. We don't have to do that every time. That'll be annoying.
Good. All right. Good. That's fine.
Here we go. Song two from Michael Johnson.
This is a band called the House Martins, and I think this will be one of those songs where they're like, oh yeah, I remember this. But they reminded me back in the day of the specials where there's 19 people on stage and four of them have a trombone and they have pork pie hats and they're, you know, sort of dancing feverishly. So this is from 1986. Paul Heaton, who was the lead singer, then formed a band. Some people may know the Beautiful South.
Oh, I know that. Yeah. We've played that band before. I think one of my past co-hosts, April Richardson, that was a band that she really liked.
Yeah. And so that is a interesting offshoot. And in fact, Norman Cook was part of this band. Norman Cook is known as Fat Boy Slim.
What?
That's right.
All right.
So little tidbits, a little quirky fact. So the guitarist had a chord progression planned for the verses of this song, but he wanted to finish the song quickly in order to go and buy some cakes at the local bakery. So he reused the same chords for the chorus as well and said, F it.
F it.
And we will go ahead and make this a 10-minute song. And sometimes it sounds like it, but it's very catchy. So I just love it. It's a song called Happy Hour.
Happy Hour. Here we go. Now, whenever I see the name, the House Martins, I always hear it in my head as the House Martinis. Okay. I don't know why.
Well, the first step is to admit we have a problem.
Right. We have a problem. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Happy Hour.
What a good place to be. Don't believe it. To speak a different language and it's never going to be all for me. Don't believe it. Oh no. Cause it's never going to be all for me. No, oh, oh. It's another night up with a boss. Following footsteps overcome.
That's a good tune also.
It's happy.
You're two for two.
Oh, thank you.
Amazing. So Mike was the third person from work that's been on the show. First was Kat Rollins, who's coming back. She always picked her next topic, picked the song, sent them to me. She's raring to go. Then it was Mara, and now it's Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And then when people hear at work that you guys have been on the show, they'll go, I would love to be on your podcast. And it's usually a person that I do not want to be on my podcast.
Right.
And I go, great, yeah.
Oh, that's how you meet that. Wait,
yeah.
That sounds wonderful.
Hey, that's fantastic.
Put together a topic.
Yeah. Okay. No, I don't go that far. Because in my head, I'm like, I don't want to sit in a room with you.
Right. Because what if they do come through with a topic?
I know. See, I don't want to do it. Mm. No.
Okay.
All right. This band, have you ever heard of Tommy Conwell and the Young Rumblers?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, this is just a song I love. Maybe some people out there have never heard of them. This song, what is this song from? Let me find out. This song is from 1988. I don't even know where I heard this song. It was produced by Rick Chertoff, who had great success with Cyndi Lauper and the Hooters. And this song, I just love it. It's called If We Never Meet Again.
Well, there's one thing I'd like to rearrange. But after everything's already happened, and there's nothing left to change, they can take their advice and use it all on themselves. I wanna have something else. I wanna have a little faith. I wanna know what a guy and a girl can do when they're dizzy, cause they're just not spinning with this world. Oh, if we never meet again, if goodbyes remain unspoken,
what do you think?
I love it. I really do.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Tommy Conwell. That's a name.
I know, right? And the Young Rumblers. I think he's something else now. It's Tommy Conwell and...
Old Rumblers.
The Conspirators or something. That could be wrong, but that sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes I look back here. I don't want you to think I'm not paying attention to you. The mixing board is behind me and the laptop is, I don't know why it's not over here, but it's just better back here in the corner. Okay. So from time, I just look to make sure we're still recording.
Oh, very good.
Because in the past, not since we've been to North Carolina, but in California, this baby would stop a lot. And it was a hassle. And it would usually be when Pilar was recording her podcast. And then I would get a call or a text, the board shut down, it froze up. I'm like, okay. Yeah,
nobody needs that.
But Pilar has a thing with tech anyway. Whenever there's a glitch on something, she thinks there's something in her makeup that causes things to shut down. And I'm not going to say that that might not be true. But
yeah.
All right. Song 3 from Michael Johnson.
Hi. It's a solo artist that's named Paolo Nutini. And Paolo Nutini, again, just like with you where you said, how did we meet? I don't know how I met Paolo Nutini, but he, just all of a sudden, there are certain artists where you're just like, I got to hear more of this person. He's so unique. He's just got this unique sort of, I don't know, certain flavor to his voice. And when you see him, you're thinking this is a guy from Spain or Italy. He's got a name that's, of course, sounds very Italian, but he's in fact Scottish. And so that even was intriguing as well to me, because I lived in Scotland for a time and it was my favorite place, I think, to live. But he, this was from his 2006 debut album. The album was called These Streets, and there's like 3 or 4 songs that are just amazing off of that. So if you're ever on Spotify or wherever you get your music, look up this Paolo Nutini, and this song is called New Shoes.
Woke up cold one Tuesday. I'm looking tired and feeling quite sick. I felt like there was something missing in my day-to-day life. So I quickly opened the wardrobe, pulled out some jeans and a t-shirt that seemed clean, topped it off with a pair of old shoes that were ripped around the seams. And I thought these shoes just don't suit me. Hey, I put some new shoes on and suddenly everything's right. I said, hey, I put some new shoes on and everybody's smiling, it's so right. And
you know, I think I've heard that song before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good tune. It might have even been played on this show long, long time ago, because I can't remember what was played.
He's got a line in there that reminds me of my very early 20s, where it's short on money, long on time. You've got all the free time in the world, but yeah, no money to spend on anything.
Yeah, that would be my daughter Rita right now.
Right.
All right, next up for me. Okay, so this person has actually been on the show. She was on one of our first ever shows live in studio with us. She played live. Her name is Kathleen Wilhoit. Most people might know her as an actress. She was in Roadhouse, and she was in Lorenzo's Oil, and she was on ER and Murphy's Law, and just so many acting credits. But she also has recorded 2 albums, and dare I say, as good of an actress as she is, I think she's a better singer-songwriter. So whenever I get a chance to play any of her music, I try to, so that people will go stream it and buy it. And this is from her first album called Pitch Like a Girl, which is a great title. And this song is called No One Can Touch Me. This is Kathleen Wilhoit. Kathleen Wilhoit. I love it. I love her voice. I love her songs. At the time of this record, her birthday will be next week. Happy birthday, Kathleen
Roy.
Hey,
Kathleen.
Another person born in 1964. Just like me.
The best year.
The best year for music, I think. Mm-hmm. All right. What's next?
So I know for a fact that this band has been mentioned on your previous podcast mm-hmm. with Mr. Schneier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it maybe, or somebody else that you had on that referenced?
It seems like a Dave Schneier type band.
Yeah, I think so. But they are called the Connells. And the Connells.
Oh, no, no, no. Kevin Hardbarger.
That's it.
Kevin Hardbarger. Yes.
The Connells are actually a band from Raleigh, North Carolina. And I discovered them when a popular band on the campus of James Madison University, where I went in Virginia and graduated in 4 years. Thank you. This band was a product of the late 80s, but it was jangly, kind of REM-ish guitar pop. And a band that was on campus there that was quite popular played this band a lot. And I just fell in love with it. This particular song is from their third album. Their song that is entitled 74-75, it's not this song that I chose, but they were, interestingly, a real hit like in Norway and Sweden and the UK charts. They were a number one hit, which was 74-75 in Norway and Sweden in 1995. And they reached the top 10 in a total of 11 European countries, I think, even that same year. Doug McMillan is the lead singer, and you'll hopefully know this spot in Winston-Salem called Bailey Park, maybe?
Yes, I've been there.
So downtown, we have one of these sort of reconditioned places where it just used to be warehouses, and now it's a wood-burning pizza joint and mm-hmm. a brewery. And out back of the brewery, they have this huge sort of concrete area where now kids can skateboard and play ball and just sort of hang out while the parents have 13% ABV beers and, and that sort of thing. And so they had a concert out there, and the Connells gave a free concert.
Oh, terrific. That's
and
fantastic.
We, and my wife, Lizzie, and I just loved this band, and we went and just had the best time where we sort of thought back to what it was like to hear this band for the first time. This is the Connells from Raleigh, North Carolina with Fun and Games.
So a quick little side note on this about Kevin Hardbarger. He was in town a couple weeks ago, and we hung out on a Friday before I had to work. And we went to McKay's, and then we went to Slappy's Chicken. But when he showed up at the house to hang out, he had a Connell's Fun and Games t-shirt on.
Oh, right.
And it was a reprint because his friend does merch for bands, and one of the bands he does merch for is the Connells. And then when we went to Slappy's Chicken that day, guy behind the counter was immediately like, "The Connells." He goes, "There's no way that's an original shirt though." And then Kevin told him the story about
anecdote that just occurred to me, because you and I talk sometimes about going to these shows and you're like, would you look at the audience here? How did they're not aging gracefully. But sometimes I forget how old I am how long it's been since I discovered certain bands. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
I mean, we're talking about 89 when I discover them. So take off my shoe to calculate. 26 plus 11. So, right? 37 years we're talking about. So when I see them at Bailey Park, and Doug, who will always be 31 in my mm-hmm, brain,
yeah,
he gets up to the mic. He's like, "Thanks for coming, everybody. Just getting over shingles." Just, you know, I'm still in a little bit of pain, mm-hmm, but we're going to have a muscle through this.
Oh, my God.
But they sounded great.
Yeah.
And it was so heartwarming to
The gout is acting up, but it'll be fine. I'm just going to sit for the show.
Exactly.
All right. Ever heard of Saint Paradise?
No.
All right. The saint in Saint Paradise is for Derek St. Holmes. He was the lead singer on Ted Nugent's first album. That's why that album's so good. It's because Derek is singing. Mm-hmm. And when there was trouble in the Ted Nugent camp, members of the Ted Nugent band went off and formed Saint Paradise. I've always loved anything Derek St. Holmes does. And this is a song called Straight to You. And a side note, drums are by Denny Carmazzi, who played with Montrose and with Foreigner and Whitesnake, and most successfully with Heart in the 80s. So,
wow.
And you don't have the, you're under no obligation to say that you like all my songs, and I'm under no obligation to say I like all your songs. So just say no.
I have a note here that says, when Pat plays his song, say wow.
Well, that's what we do from Trader Joe's. We give each other a wow experience. By the way, that's what they call it, folks. I don't know if customers know that, but behind the scenes, when you come to Trader Joe's, we're supposed to be giving the customers a wow experience mm-hmm. everywhere in the store. Mm-hmm. You ask where paprika is. We don't sell that. You ask where something is.
Yes, we do.
We do. We sell paprika.
Sure, we do.
All right. You ask where something is. We don't just say, yeah, it's over there. We take you to the item. We take mm-hmm. you right to it.
There's a little wagon that we put people in and we say, a radio flyer, and we just pull them along.
And sometimes people go, no, it's fine. I can find it. And they're not going to find it. They're going to get over there and then have to ask a second or maybe a third person.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's right.
So my way, because when sometimes people are like so adamant, like they don't want you to take them. I just say, no, this is how I get my steps in. And then they're like, well, okay. But it's so much better to just take them right to the shiitake mushrooms.
Well, I've noticed, and this is more Trader Joe's talk, but that
it's okay.
People don't ask you for anything while you're upright. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's when you have your forehead against, barbecue cut salmon that they're like, could you show me where the free range capers are? And you're just like, absolutely.
Yeah. Or I've just finally gotten on the floor with a case of tomato sauce.
Right.
And they're like, hey. Okay.
Let me help myself up.
Let me get myself up here. Pilar was telling me the other night that getting up and down, like going down on one knee and getting down and then getting up, is like an exercise as you get older. That's what you should do. That's important. And I'm like, why do that every day? And she goes, yeah, but I don't. So she's now been doing these things where she just one knee down, then the other knee, and then up and then down and then up. Yeah. And it's like, she's like, it's really hard to do. I'm like, hey, it's not hard for me, but maybe before I worked at this job, maybe it was.
Oh, for sure. This job is gets us into a particular state. Not all of us, Pat.
Not all of us. No, certainly not. But. Certainly not. You can't burn 3,000 calories and eat 5,000 calories. It's just not.
It's a deficit.
It's a deficit. It's not going to help. It's not going to help you. Mm. But no, definitely. I think people think, oh yeah, this looks like an easy job because they just see you like, I don't know. They don't see us doing that crazy heavy stuff.
Well, I've told you when I go to the doctor for the physical, and she's like, well, what exercise are you doing? I was like, do you know where I work?
Okay, Trader Joe's.
I'm getting all the steps in, and I'm doing the deep knee bends, and I'm, she's like, that doesn't count. I was like,
oh, it counts.
It counts.
Trust me, it counts. All right, next tune.
Oh.
Track 5.
All right. Is it 5?
On the Ever Heard Of playlist.
It is. Now, This is a band we've talked about, and you're like, you very diplomatically said, I just can't get behind them, and I don't know why.
No.
The Replacements.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
But it's one of those bands that my, you talk about people that I've remained in touch with through my military moves, because my dad was in the military, that's what had us moving. But I've known this kid named Kevin since I was five. And that's a very, very long time.
That's a very long time.
So his dad was in the Navy as well. And we went to college together because I was overseas and I wrote to him and I said, where are you going to college? He says, James Madison. I said, sure, why not? So I did that. And that was how I determined what school I would go to. So when I got to college, he's like, you have to hear this band called The Replacements. And there's certainly some tunes where I could sort of take or leave. And they were, quite honestly, a bit of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
They were always drunk. They were always just, you know, the guitarist was in a fight with somebody and then would walk off mid-show. And
yeah, and their Saturday Night Live appearance is notorious for being a mess.
They got banned, yes. I think. But Paul Westerberg, to me, is an amazing singer-songwriter.
Yes.
He's got a fantastic solo career. He's a little bit of a recluse and just tucks away in Minneapolis and sort of comes out on tour and sort of doesn't. But there was a period when I lived near Washington, D.C., where he was on tour, not with the Replacements, because they couldn't get their act together to do it, but that he would come around. And in terms of live appearances, it's some of the most memorable shows that I've been to is to watch him. Now, all that being said, this band that I'm going to talk about, our artist, is actually the bass player for The Replacements.
Tommy Stinson. Also, I just want to give a shout out to Tom Neuerberg and Carly Anderson, two of my friends who love The Replacements. And I've tried many times. I'll try yet again to try to get into The Replacements. Good. Okay, keep going, okay. Michael.
So Tommy Stinson was the bassist in this particular outfit called Bash and Pop, which is his, I guess you could say, solo band. He actually plays guitar. It's from 1993. The album is called Friday Night is Killing Me. So I think The Replacements had a lot of Friday nights that ultimately killed them. But it's got this bar band sort of enthusiasm that he has. And it was during the time when I was enamored with Keith Richards, had a solo project with The Expensive Winos that I was actually blown away by, because sometimes when guys peel off from their original band, you begin to think, not so much. But it was a really powerful band that Keith Richards put together, kind of 1989-ish, 1990. Mm-hmm. And then following on the heels of that in 1993 was this. So he plays rhythm guitar instead of bass. It's called Never Aim to Please by Bash and Pop.
Had me right from the jump.
Yeah, right?
Right from the beginning. I'm all in on that.
And a lot of those songs are just, there's certain albums where you're just like, it's their debut album or something. And you're like, this is like, I can't, like Counting Crows to me, their original album was one of those where you're just like, where did this come from?
And yeah.
This is fantastic. So, so Tommy sings on that as well with Bash and Pop.
Tommy Stinson. It says on the actual album that some of the Heartbreakers from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers play on this album. The album was produced by Don Smith. Stinson was unable to settle on a permanent band lineup and ended up playing many of the instruments himself.
Now, Tommy came to town maybe before your time, but about 2 years ago, and played at the tiniest guitar shop in town.
Did you go?
No, I didn't.
Why didn't you go?
I had to work or do something. But
I know
it was an afterthought, but he played, made a little appearance, and I think all of 17 people showed up, and he played a little acoustic set out back of the shop, and it was probably
signed anything people brought. It's probably amazing.
Yeah, for sure.
So this brings me to something that I always say, especially of people that are a certain age. If there's a band on your bucket list that you've never seen, what are you waiting for? You gotta go. You gotta go. Because, I mean, they're not getting any older. You're not getting any older. So just go. So that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Good advice.
All right. So one of my favorite bands of all time is British hard rock band called UFO. They've influenced so many bands that are wildly more popular than UFO became. So this was in, I don't even have the year in front of me, but the lead singer, Phil Mogg, decided that he was just going to do a solo project, and it's a band called Sign of Four. And the S in sign is a dollar sign. How about that? And this is a song that I don't know if anyone's ever heard, or very few people have ever heard this song called Seems to Me. It's kind of a little slower. It's kind of a little bluesy. It definitely doesn't sound like UFO, but I think Phil's voice is really great on this song. So here it is, Seems to Me.
If I could see that little smile on your face, I could stand up and not fall from a grace. Oh, my darling, I don't know. There's a part of heaven and a part down below. Seems to me we don't change. We eat it up now and we pray for the strange. Seems to me we don't care. It's all or nothing.
Now, I could look this up, but I'm not going to, because I'm just going to give information that might be wrong. But I'm pretty sure when you go see Iron Maiden on tour, they don't play a UFO song, but the music that they come out to is a UFO song. And then at the end of the concert, a UFO song plays over the amp, the sound system. So look, UFO was very influential.
UFO feels like one of those bands like Television, where everyone that you know quite well references, but no one.
Yeah, like, but Television has like two or three albums, and UFO has like 25 albums.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, like I've seen UFO as recently as I think 2001 or two. But, and my wife famously has said one day when I was playing UFO, she's like, "Who is this band?" And I said, "Oh, this is UFO." Like, I thought she was like saying, like, she gaslit me. I go, "This is UFO." And she's like, "Yeah, they're not very good, are they?" I'm like, "Wow, what? How dare you?" And every time I bring that up, she's like, "Yeah, could we let that rest?" She'll be so, if she found out I told that story right now, she'd be like, "Yeah, you got to stop telling that story."
Oh, gosh.
All right. Great. Song six.
Yes. So I was listening to this song because I was listening through the playlist today while I was walking the Golden Retriever, as I'm wont to do. And this, every single time this song hits me in the same way, that it's just one of my favorites. It's slower than the ones that I've presented to you today. And the way that a lot of people will remember this is it's actually from the movie Garden State. And the band is Remy Zero. And Remy Zero was one of those bands that would open for like Radiohead, and they would open for, who else have they opened for? It was there's a band called Travis that I love. Mm-hmm. That's from Scotland, and they've got, you know, just some amazing songs from kind of late 90s and early 2000s. Before Remy Zero had actually released any full length albums. And Radiohead had found their demo tape and invited them to be part of the US tour for the Bends album. That sort of really kicked off Radiohead. And then after that, Remy Zero moved from where they originated from in Alabama to Los Angeles to record their first album. So this is, they formed in 1989, but this album wasn't until maybe 7 years later, if I saw the Wikipedia quote unquote facts to it. But this is a band called Remy Zero, and the song is Fair.
F-A-I-R.
That's right.
Well, it's only fallen frames, they told me. You stand out so loud, and so what if it is as cold as your face into the wind? And where to go tonight as sun shall see? What if you catch me? Where would we land? Somebody's life for taking his hands. Sing to me hope as she spun on the stand. All of our work is rated again.
And the first time I heard Remy Zero was because they did the theme song for my beloved television show Smallville.
Oh yes,
called Save Me. Yes. Yeah.
And this is one of those songs that Lizzie and I, my wife and I, will sit down at the piano and she's like, you want to sing? And I was like, no, you do it. And we try to like work out little arrangements, and it's just one of those songs that we both really adore. So yeah, that one means a lot to me for sure. So,
and I just looked up the Iron Maiden set list. This is just from last night. They come onto the stage playing UFO's Doctor Doctor.
Okay.
But they close the shows with Monty Python's Always Look at the Bright Side of Life. So they do not close it out. But I believe in the past they did close out with UFO also. All right. So this is a song. This is a band called The Ravens. And this song, I love it. And people know it. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you do. It's from, it was featured most famously in Fast Times at Ridgemont High when Judge Reinhold is washing his car. Mm-hmm. And this song is raised on the radio. You know that song?
Yes, of course. Remember it from somewhere.
When I was doing story producer work, the offices I were in were across the street from this coffee shop, and the guy who owned the coffee shop was the guy who played Damone in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
And, ticket scalper guy.
Yeah, what was his name? Robert something. I gotta look it up because it's crazy.
Oh, can I tell a fascinating fact about Remy Zero?
Yes, please.
While you're doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Senjin Tate was the lead singer of Remy Zero, and this is one of those things as well where he was married to Alyssa Milano for a time.
Oh, I knew that too. That's so weird.
I don't know that it lasted as well, but
yeah,
surprisingly.
Robert Romanus was Mike Damone. And okay. Yeah, he owned this. It might have been called like Robert's Coffee, even. I don't know, but or Damone's Java. I don't know what it was, but we would go over there like every day, hopefully to see him. And it was easy because he was pretty much there every day.
Oh, he was.
But we never said it because we're like, what are we going to say to him? He hears it all the time.
Yeah.
Like he hears it all the time.
And was he in anything else that
he's
a character.
See, that's what I like to lean into. If a guy was in something else, like for example, okay. You know McLovin from what's that movie?
Super bad.
Super bad.
Yeah.
Okay. McLovin was originally from Woodland Hills, California. And maybe his parents still live there, but he would walk his dog in my neighborhood all the time. And I'm like, and I would like be, you know, jogging or whatever, but or walking somewhere and I would pass him on the street and I'm like, I can't say McLovin. Yeah. I can't say it. So like, you gotta, I'm like, I gotta find other things that he was in, but.
You never did.
I never did. I never did. And I never said hi to him either because I'm just like, I can't.
Well, his loss.
His loss. Because you know he doesn't want to, you know, he likes these in that movie, but he doesn't want to hear it. He doesn't want to hear McLovin. All right. Robert Romanos was in Foxes, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Bad Medicine, Dangerous Curves. I don't know any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. No, this is probably all direct-to-video stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Short
yeah.
film. Mm-hmm. All right. Sadly, his last acting credit was 2019.
Is he still with us?
I think he's still with us. So funny, Kathleen Wilhoit, who I played earlier, they were super good friends.
Oh.
He's still with us, 69 years old.
Okay.
All right. You just played a song. No, I just played Raised on Radio, and now it's your turn with, this might be the song I did not care for in your list.
Okay.
But we'll good. Talk about it.
Well, the truth hurts, but that's all right. All right. So this gentleman, I have a certain soft spot for sort of Americana slide guitar-y rock, I guess, but it just seems like he's kind of in the same Jeff Buckley sort of vein.
Mm-hmm.
And I always found him fascinating. And he actually was sort of a tragic character that I think succumbed to lung cancer and, but apparently was a great father and just like an all around great guy, but lived only to like
45.
I know.
He's been gone for 20 years.
Yeah. Whew. I know. And his debut album was in 1991. So that was about the time, a few years after that, that I discovered him. But he had 17 albums is what it's.
Yeah. Like. Yeah. I'm looking at this. I'm like, wow. But this one's the only like album cover I remember like, yeah. seeing.
Yeah, me too. And it's the only one that I paid a lot of attention to. Mm-hmm. And there are songs on there that, you know, in hindsight, I chose this particular song, but this, and it's a great song to me, but there are other ones on there where I was like, God, that's interesting too. And I like it, but this is Chris Whitley and the song is Living with the Law.
Here we go.
Brother running out of money, dead somewhere on a drum. In the hours after washing, I do my dreaming with a gun. Well, I come down from the country, I find a lesson in the draw.
Whitley later dismissed his first album as too polished.
Mm.
Too polished.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Chris Whitley.
Yep.
I don't know if it's too twangy. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
See if there's other songs. I mean, sometime, you know, go to that album and see if there are other songs where you're like, or you may just be like, no, I was right.
Okay. I'll try to do that.
Okay.
If I remember.
All right.
Ever heard of Quarter Flash?
Yes, of course.
All right.
Yeah.
Ever heard of a song called Take Me to Heart?
Yes.
All right. This is just an excuse for me to play Quarter Flash. And we don't have enough female voices on the show today. And I want to swear right now, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say like, holy F, do I love this song. I love it.
Okay, good.
I can't get enough of this Take Me to Heart song. Here we go.
My eyes, ooh, deep inside you realize you're gonna see me wherever you go.
Messing up your topic with this foolishness.
Hear me on your radio. Oh, oh, oh. There you are in your car. And suddenly you hear me. Do you want?
love that song. I listen to that song on a loop like a mental patient.
It's called Take Me to Heart.
Take Me to Heart.
Okay. So there's a certain fascination that Quarter Flash has with the heart, right?
Harden my heart.
Harden my heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was their big.
Yeah.
That was their big.
That was their big one.
Single. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They love anything about the heart. Except heart disease. They do not like that.
Yeah, not a big fan.
By the way, I want to let everyone know we're wearing our tennis clothes right now.
Yeah, we're straight to the courts.
We don't care. That's where young Gabe will be, ready to kick our butts.
Trust me, this thing, this no cursing policy, don't worry about it. He's heard plenty around the house. Speaking of which, I just got a text from him because he's at a card show.
Okay.
And he wants me to know, if I may.
To explain what a card show is, because he's not gambling.
No, it's a sports cards.
Yeah, sports cards.
So I won't belabor this.
No. Tell this story about the card that he found first. Tell this first. Okay. You're in Target. He buys a pack of what, football cards?
Yes. And so $20, right? Yeah. Brings it to the car, opens the pack, sits next to me, says, "Dad, I'm going to cry." And I was like, "Dude, everything's fine. What's the matter?" "I'm going to cry. You don't understand." And he's physically like just
shaking. Yeah.
And I was like, "Okay, buddy, did you find a good one? Like something that we paid 20 for the pack. Maybe this is $25 right. card."
Yeah.
"Dad, you don't understand. This is a one of one." And I don't know all the terminology.
Yeah. But I think I know what one of one means.
But he starts auto, and which is autograph, and mm-hmm. it's a, anyway. So he starts getting online and he starts looking up this card, and it's worth $1,400. So
now it's only worth what someone's willing to pay you. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because like my sister will email me and say, like, "I have this Barbie Corvette in the attic and it's still in the box and I'm looking on eBay and I can get $1,000 for it." And then I'll tell her, "No, this person is auctioning it off for $1,000. You have to look
sold.
On the sold things. Mm. You can get $40 for it."
Well, so, anyway, this is my point. So that's what I thought, is that he had overreacted, let's say. So he looks it up and he swears up and down, and I trust him for the most part. And so he says, "There is a card show that is going on now in Charlotte."
Right this second.
And Charlotte, listeners, is about 65 miles away.
Yes.
Am I reticent to drive him to Charlotte?
Of course you are. I would be.
Of course I am. Do I want to, you know, pay $5 a gallon to get down there? No, not really.
No.
But I can
just on the chance that maybe someone will be interested.
But I can see what it means to the boy.
Yeah.
And he's my only child.
Yeah.
So what else am I going to do?
Right.
He's, you know.
Get some dad points. Tomorrow's Father's Day.
Exactly. The other text I got today made me tear up because it was this long email about how I was his best friend. And it was just thank you for so much. And Father's Day.
Very nice.
Is tomorrow. Anyway. So I drive him ultimately to Charlotte and we go to the card show and he goes to the first table and they're like, "I'll give you $800 for that card." He's like, "No way." And I was like, "Dude, that's so much money for 16. Yes. Take it. No, you wait." So we must have spent a good 2 hours at this card show while he shopped it around. And ultimately he got $1,400 for this.
Amazing. It's like the greatest story ever.
Next question. Ask me if he still has it.
$1,400.
Not the card, but the $1,400.
No, he certainly doesn't. My kid wouldn't.
Please.
My oldest would have it. Ezra would have it. Rita, no.
Right.
No.
So this is not. So he says, "Listen, there's a $350 card for $220. All I need is $90. So he's bartering with me to split the cost. Now, let me ask you something.
He's buying a card.
All I need is $90 to buy this $350 card. That's what it's worth for $220.
And then where's he going to turn around and sell that for? And if he sells it and gives you your 90 back, he's really only going to break even. You know what I mean? Oh, you're laughing that he's going to give your 90 back.
Thank you.
But if you told him that, say, "Look, if you sell it and then pay me my 90 back, you're only breaking even." Right?
Yeah, but there'd be a whole fakakta sort of, "Well, but Dad, I need to keep 40 because then what I did is I bought this other one and then I lose track of like what my original investment was."
Right.
So I said, no. And he says, "Please, since I'm an amazing kid and it's an investment, trust me, we will make a lot on this card. I already sold my Shohei Ohtani," which he had, "for $100.
All right.
So this is how he works on me. Even when I'm tell him, don't text me during.
This is why he doesn't have a job, because he's doing this. This is his job.
That's what he sees it as, an investment.
Maybe he'll grow up and be an entrepreneur.
I don't know.
Maybe he'll be like Mark Cuban.
Maybe. We can only hope.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway.
All right, track 8. Mm. We're almost at the end.
Oh, boy. I can see it. Let's see. This gentleman is called, his name is Jake Bug. That's not his real name, but it's Bug with 2 G's. His real name is...
So it's Bugugug.
Bugugug. And his real name is Jake Edwin Charles Kennedy, which doesn't flow off the tongue like Jake Bug, but nevertheless. I suppose he could have shortened that somehow. This is the last song on his debut album, and this was 2012. And the whole album, which I love, because there's some bands out there like The Laws, mm-hmm. if you've ever heard of them. There She Goes is their song.
Okay.
And they have these albums that are 38 minutes long.
I love a 38-minute album.
It's like the Ramones, right?
Yeah.
Like where it's just like, bam.
What did they pop?
Yeah, right, exactly. He's from Nottingham, England. His name is Jake Bug, and this song is called Broken.
Waiting for you, for I'm broken.
He's breaking my ears. Down. My hearing's broken.
I'm coming down this time for my heart life. Took you down, let them over to your house where I'm broken down by the people. If they let you,
jeez, I don't know if I like it or if I don't like it. Mm. At first, I didn't like it, then in the middle, I'm like, maybe I do like it.
Yeah, I sort of go back and forth because the first songs here were sort of hard charging kind of things.
Yeah.
But I find that the ones that I'm most sometimes enamored with are the slow sort of kind of, as my wife says, they seem like they're whining. Why are they whining? But I like that album very much. And that's my retribution for Quarter Flash. So.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I'll take that to heart. All right. This is my last song. Then you can close it out with your final three. This is a band called The Unforgiven. I've talked about it before on the show. You don't know the story, but I was story producing on a show called Swamp Hunters. That show was awful. But my the lead story producer, who was my boss, his name was Steve Jones. And not the Steve Jones from the Sex Pistols, but he was in the band The Unforgiven. And one day we were talking about music, and he just says, yeah, I was in a band. We had one album. It was a pretty big deal when it came out. We called The Unforgiven. And I was like, woo, woo, woo. All is quiet on the Western Front, Unforgiven? And he's like, yes. I'm like, you've got to be. He's like, how do you know that? I go, I can't believe that you were in that band. He goes, I'm the lead singer-songwriter. So anyway, it was crazy. So eventually I got a vinyl copy and he signed it, and it's hanging over there on the wall somewhere. But Yeah, just crazy. But I remember seeing this song on MTV and I just loved it so much. And it's not a bad album. It's pretty cool. They lean into this Western, like they all wear like just like Civil War like okay. type attire. It's interesting. Hmm. But this is All Is Quiet on the Western Front.
Put down his head to the blast, and all that was his chest.
There it is.
What a small world. That
it's so strange.
Like, by the way, I'm the lead singer.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you about this job, Swamp Hunters. The best part about the job is I lived in Woodland Hills. It was in Santa Monica. So I'd take the PCH to work in the morning. It was amazing. Like, I would drive there.
Coast Highway.
And I would look to my right, and there's the ocean. I'm like, this is beautiful. And then at the end of the day, it would take me an ungodly amount of time to get home, like 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours, because I couldn't take the PCH home because it was moved way too slow at that hour. So I would have to take the 405, and that, you don't know what you're going to get ever. Like, there's no easy way for me to get from Santa Monica back to Woodland Hills. So this is how much I hated this Swamp Hunter's job. At one point, you know when you make a paper chain? Kids make a paper chain.
Sure.
Like, you link it up. I made a paper chain and hung it in my cubicle. And then every day I would tear one off. Like, it was the number of days that I had left.
Oh, I see, remaining.
Yes, yeah. The remaining days I had left. And every day I would tear one off and throw it in the trash. I'm like, geez, I would watch that chain get short. I'm like, because it was like, they went out and shot all the footage. And it was all fake. Everything. I didn't sign an NDA, by the way. I want to say this out. I've said this before. When I would have these story producer jobs, they would give you your packet of all the paperwork you had to sign. And I would always tear the NDA out of the packet and throw it away.
And they never noticed that you were, okay.
20% of the time they would notice. And they go, oh, your packet didn't have an NDA. Oh, okay. But 80% of the time they didn't, because I'm like, there's no way I'm not going to be able to talk about these shows. So I did not sign my NDA for this show. So I'm talking about it. It was all fake. There was like a bunch of good old boys who were brothers. They were the Swamp Hunters, and they would find these treasures. Well, all the treasures were planted, and they were fake, and it's so, I hated it. And then they would bring all this footage back that they shot, and we got to piece it together and make a story out of it. But like, they're missing like core elements of the story they want to tell. And then I would always be funny around the office. Any job I had, I would always joke and be funny. And so Steve Jones, lead singer of The Unforgiven, he would say, hey, look, here's what I need you to do with these episodes, because you're funny. You're the funny guy here. I need you to make these episodes funny. I'm like, I can't make these episodes funny.
Nobody can.
I can't make these episodes funny. He's like, yeah, write some voiceover, and we'll have the guys. I go, voiceover's not going to, I can't do it. So I would never address that funny note. And every time we'd have a screen, he'd go, yeah, I got to punch up the funny. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll work on it. I never did it. I'm like, I can't do it.
All right, I'm going to try to focus on this. So the Swamp Hunters was based, but where was it filmed?
Like in Louisiana.
I see. At first, when I was like, I don't think there's swamps.
Yeah, no.
Okay, but you're saying the production would happen.
Yeah, they would go and they would film all the footage in advance, and they would think they would have what they needed, and they didn't. They didn't have it at all. And then he kept telling me, we're going to go do reshoots. I'm like, and then there was a flood there. So the places where they originally filmed were flooded over. And I'm just like, this is,
oh my God,
trash. And then I got to tell you this. So one day we had notes, and we had a ton of notes, notes that we can't even address. So this girl that was behind me, she was the other story producer. Her name was Bronwyn, I believe. Yeah. I'm going to say it was Bronwyn. So we go back to our desks, and I'm calling friends and doing whatever. I'm not even addressing the notes, and she's crying at her cubicle. She's crying. And I'm on the phone. I go, hold on a second. I go, Bronwyn. I go, are you crying? She's like, yes. I go, why are you crying? She goes, because we have all these notes and you don't seem to care. And I turn around, because literally, if we both backed up, our chairs would hit each other. That's how close these cubicles were. And I said, Bronwyn, I don't care, because we can't address these notes. We can't do any of these notes. So you just have to, you stop crying. It's not worth crying.
What I picture you is the Tom Hanks character in The League of Their Own. Like, there's no crying.
There's no crying in Swamp Hunters. But I'm just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You can't cry.
Sorry, help matters.
Song 9.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love this band. And I hope you do too.
I'm sure I will. I'm sure I will.
This is a band, when I was living in Scotland, this band is composed of guys from Ireland and Scotland. And it's just, it speaks to the ability to ramble through the countryside of Scotland, the greens and the moors, and, you know, and just, it's very moody, atmospheric. It's got a little Irish jig kind of songs, but it's also got some really profound songs as well. Excuse me. And there's a gentleman who's a lead singer called Mike Scott, and he has done some great solo work and has some made some amazing records on his own as well. But
oh, this is the Waterboy song?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this song. I love this one.
You do?
Yeah, I did. I loved it.
Okay. And in fact, one time I was watching a live performance from U2, and their walkout song was this particular song. So the backstory to this is I always love this song because it reminds me of my wife, because I'm can sometimes be a little bit trended towards the negative side of things, or not finding the
always a good quality in a relationship.
Finding, yeah, people love that. Finding the silver lining and things. Whereas my wife will just zero in on it and say, "This can be done, and this is you'll see, and this will be positive." So,
God, I wish I had her as my story producing partner when we did Swamp Hunters.
I know she would have done it. She wouldn't have cried.
She wouldn't have cried. We would have got it done. It would have been a great show.
But this is a song that that I just adore, and it's sort of their anthemic song. And I used to put it in my Walkman, if you remember those days, and walk across the heath like Heathcliff. Right? Is that what his name was?
Sure.
And like I said, U2 use this as their walkout song. And it always reminds me of my my lovely wife Lizzie. So this is about one partner being the center of positivity, and the other one, the man in this song, being somebody who's there's a line in there that says, "I saw the crescent and you saw the whole of the moon." So this
and
is
the whole of the moon is W H O L E. They didn't see a hole moon.
There was not a hole in the moon.
They saw the whole moon.
Not a man in the moon. Nothing like that. This is the Water Boys.
There we go. The Water Boys. That's a great tune.
Yeah.
Good pick. That. Love it.
Thank you.
Let me ask you something. In the past 5 minutes, have you sent the boy the $90?
No.
All right. I'm just checking.
I'm remaining firm on this offer of zero.
Okay. And where is this card show out
at? It's actually in Clemens, North Carolina. So just west of us.
So he should be on his way to tennis soon.
Yes, that's the plan.
Yeah. All right. I don't
know what he's doing. He's messing around.
Is he by himself?
Well, I think here's the story. Mom was going to take him, and Mom's made it painfully clear, this will be like if I dragged you to Belk makeup counter and said, "Here, sit there while I choose a shade of blush."
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, that doesn't sound fun." And she's like, "Exactly. That's what a card show is to me."
Yeah.
So what I picture them doing is she took him to the card show, and it took her about 7 minutes to say, this is not where I want to be, and I have things that I could be doing at home. So I'm going to let you roam all the different tables and barter, and then I'll come back and get you. So with any luck, that has happened. So we'll see him soon for tennis.
Well, this is this reminds me of the story of Pilar and I. We are celebrating an anniversary a few years ago, and I head off, and she head off, and she's like, "What are we going to do for our anniversary tomorrow?" Because we didn't really make any plans. And I said, "Okay, hear me out." I go, "Jason Momoa is in Hollywood this afternoon, and he's going to be signing bottles of his Mei Li vodka."
"Oh my God, you're so romantic.
Could we go there?"
"Oh my God."
And she said, "Yes."
We
did.
Exhale.
So we did. But then we had other plans. Then we were going to go see a movie, and it was, what's those Kenneth Branagh movies where he plays the detective with her... Perot, Hercule, I can't say his name.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was it was the third one of those, and we had seen the first two, and we liked those. So we were going to go to a place called The Grove and see that movie after we meet Jason Momoa, which we did, got a picture, bought the vodka. And then we were going to The Grove. We're going to see that movie, and then after the movie, there's a lot of restaurants in The Grove. We're going to have a nice dinner. So we go to The Grove, and 10 minutes in to the movie, I slept for the entire movie. I fell asleep, and she's like, I'm not even going to wake him. Maybe he'll be awake for dinner. Slept through the entire movie. To this day, have not seen that one.
Dinner? You stayed awake?
Stayed awake for dinner. Because I had a power nap. So we had a nice dinner. So it was a nice day. We had a great day.
That's great.
But man, I slept through the whole movie.
Does she like you telling that story? Because
it makes me look the fool.
Oh, right.
It makes her look like a loving and caring wife that wants to do this Jason Momoa thing, but yeah.
Right, yeah.
All right, song 10, and then we'll wrap it up, and then we have a play-out song.
Great, thank you so much. This is a band from Wales, and this, I distinctly remember there are certain concert videos that I bought on DVD that I would watch again and again and again, and this is one of those from this band called Stereophonics. And this will be, of course, one of those bands as well that I think people will be like, oh, of course. But they're Live from Dakota is the name of the album that is great. And if you've never listened to this particular live album, it's great. This particular song called Just Looking is from their album called Performance and Cocktails from 1999. And it reached number 4 on the UK charts. And it's just a great quartet that just rocks, and everything that they do is fantastic. So this is Stereophonics with Just Looking.
Ones we're forced to sail. Do I want the perfect wife? Well, perfect ain't quite right. Shopping every day, yeah. Take it back the next break. See the more you fly, the more you risk your life. And I'm just looking. I'm not dying. I'm just looking. It keeps me smiling.
All right, fantastic. I like that one a lot too.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Your ratio was good today. I liked a lot of these songs.
7 out of 10 at least.
Easily. 70. And some I loved. I didn't just like, I loved.
Nice.
All right. Let's wrap it up. Let's do some promoting, and then you have a play out song for us that you will introduce. You are not really on social media. You're on Facebook.
Correct.
And that's just to post, hey, my kid is playing this game. And
we're on vacation. Yeah. And here's some pictures. And
Happy Mother's Day.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So you don't need people coming there.
No, I don't need to. I don't need to promote myself.
All right. All right.
On Facebook. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Yeah. I don't know. If I didn't have this podcast, I don't know how involved in social media I would be or not. But because I do this podcast, I just lean into it. So we are at Rock Solid Show on Instagram, and we are at Rock Solid Podcast on Blue Sky. You can go to rocksolidpodcast.com, which is the website created by Kyle, but hasn't been updated for years, but there's still a ton of content there. So that's what I keep saying, just so people can go and look around. You can buy a t-shirt there, click that link. And of course, patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast. Got lots of prizes coming up. I think I got a couple of, I got a Madonna album on colored vinyl. I got some Bangles books. I got some Debbie Gibson books. Got some Alice Cooper CDs. Got a Jackson Browne vinyl album we're going to give away soon. And these prizes could be gone by the time this episode drops. I don't know.
Roll of paper towels.
Yeah, there's a roll of paper towels over there. And there's a pair of tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. So with that, how did this go? What do you think?
My God, this was so much fun. Seriously.
I'm telling you. And look, we're 97 minutes.
An hour and a half. When you talk about it, you're thinking, what would we do for 90 minutes?
That's what everyone says. That's what everyone that sits here that isn't super familiar with how we do it, they always say that. What? I don't have anything to talk about. It's like, And then I just say, as a joke, I just say, I bring out the best in people. So it'll be fine. So with that, we're both working tomorrow, Father's Day.
Mm.
What time are you there?
6 a.m., Pat.
Happy Father's Day.
This is what we do every day, is we just ask each other, what time are you working? Yeah. And it's usually the same answers.
Because I work, he works 6 to 2, and then I work 2 to 10. But I usually get there a little bit early, 15 minutes early, and then I'll make my rounds and say hi to people.
Right.
But yeah, we rarely work together, but we do see each other.
But when we do, it's a treat for both of us.
It's a treat. It's an absolute treat.
Thank you.
And with that, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Pat.
Tell me what your playout song is.
It is by the Feelies, and the Feelies are in that same genre of jangly kind of REM. I don't know if you'd even call it pop, but this is the title track from their 1986 album called The Good Earth, and it was during my Velvet Underground phase.
Ooh.
So here they are, the Feelies.
Did you say your Velvet Underwear phase?
No, Underground.
Oh, okay.
Underground.
There we go. Father's Day is tomorrow. Dad joke. The Good Earth. Here we go. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Pat.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to push play on this song and it's going to play out, but I'm leaving the room because I'm going to piss my pants.
Okay.
So I'll be right back. You don't have to do anything. Just sit here.
I'll just sit here and look at the ceiling.
Please.
Yep.
The ones we're forced to sing. Do I want the pet? It keeps me smiling. A
house. Well, that's the end of the song. And now I'm supposed to sort of pad for time while my friend Pat comes back from the bathroom. But this has been an amazing time. And you guys should see this Rock Room East. He's got album covers that are signed by all of everybody you can imagine. So it's autographed, and he's got a set of Batman drums, which hopefully he will undertake lessons for, because I know he needs them. And he's got an acoustic guitar sitting there, so he's this musical prodigy that no one would ever guess. But it's well equipped. It's well outfitted, very comfortable. And he's got an amazing setup where magic happens on a daily basis. So we will see Pat here momentarily.
One thing we need here is a bathroom.
Yeah, you'll have to edit out. I did a little padding, but...
No, I'm gonna play the song over again right now.
Okay, but you'll have to edit out my part where I'm like, and he should be back anyway.
No. All that will be gone. Like, it's just gonna be like, I'm not gonna say I'm playing this song because I'm gonna piss my pants. Gotcha. Just gonna play it right now.
Okay, good.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.